I'll be reading from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, and it'll be from the New International Version, and it proceeds as follows. Doing good to all. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore them gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. You know, it's interesting. In life, you find that you are by yourself most of the time, right? If you're fortunate and you're blessed, they say that if you're really a lucky person, if you're the average person, you have just a few friends in life. I mean, when I say friends, really, really close friends. The average person has just a very few really close friends in their lives. So if you have a handful or a room full, you're an unusual person. Because eventually it comes down to what we are going to do. And we all, as the scripture said, carry our own burdens. But I want to introduce a concept to you that you're probably already aware of, but I want to really dwell on it today. The fact that love lifts all loads. And that by loving, we can walk alongside of and assist people and help people as they go through whatever it is they go through on their own. True enough, you can't get in another person's skin and carry their loads for them. But by being a loving friend, by being a good neighbor, we can help people as they carry some pretty heavy loads in life. Thank Mrs. Kroon for the reading of the word. Galatians 6, verse 1 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit, spiritual person, should restore that person gently. Now he goes right, in this scripture, Paul goes straight to a fact. He's talking to the church, and he's talking about a person who is carrying a load of sin. Do you know that sin can be a load? You know, in Psalm 51, David talks about his sin. He repents of his sin with Bathsheba and of killing her husband. And he talks about how day and night God's hand was upon him and how heavy it was. And sometimes you do something and you know you're wrong. And if you don't repent of it, as was spoken about last week, it can just be like a wet blanket. It can be like a heavy load upon you. And so he's saying, if a person is caught in a sin and you're aware of it, go to them and restore them gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. So what's he talking about there? He's talking about the fact that we're all human, and as we deal with people and their issues, whatever they may be, that there's a way that we deal with it. In other words, there's a temptation to be very judgmental when you deal with other people's problems if you're not careful. It's something in the ministry that you have to learn to watch for early on, and it's something as Christians we should be aware of. That it's very easy to look at another person and say, oh, they got this problem. And then to think somehow that we are better because we may not have the same problem. But guess what? We may not have that problem. And we may have 10 other problems over here. You know, the scripture says, watch out when you look at the splinter in your brother's eye. What is the problem? Why don't you first remove the plank in your own eye, and then you'll be able to see the splinter in your brother's eye. So the implication is you got a big problem, probably, and your brother's problem probably is small. But the thing about it is, big or small, it still feels like a burden and a problem. And so here he's focusing upon sin. We'll focus upon many other things, but sin is certainly one of those things. where we can be of help and where we can show love. He says, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And that's the point, isn't it? You know, actually, when you go to a person that has an issue or a problem or difficulty, and you are there with them in that situation, it is like lifting that load for them. It is like carrying that load along with them. Yeah, you may not be able to get in their skin and have it. You're not going to have to deal with the exact same problem. But by loving and caring for other people and by sharing your love with them and your concern with them, you do lift the load. God made us that way. Have you ever been in a situation and have somebody come to you and just talk to you about it or just listen to it? You ever feel how you feel lighter afterwards, don't you? If that person does it in a way that's loving and caring, not judgmental, you feel like you feel lifted, you feel lighter. That burden that you had is not as heavy as it was. And what it brings to mind for me is Simon, who carried the cross of Jesus. He carried the cross of Jesus. Jesus could not carry the cross anymore. And this man comes in and he carries the cross of Jesus. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about bearing a burden, bearing a cross along with somebody else. And God talks about here how wonderful that is. Let me talk to you also about how wonderful that is. If anyone thinks there is something when they're nothing, they deceive themselves. So he's preparing our hearts to be able to do this in the right way. When we go and try to help somebody, that we go in with the right spirit and the right attitude, each one should test his own actions. And then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves one to another or with somebody else. So we shouldn't compare ourselves with other people. Comparing yourself with other people will keep you from doing what God is asking you to do and what I'm asking you to do. Because if you start comparing yourself and thinking somehow that you're better, you won't go to your brother or your sister, and you won't help, and you won't assist, and you will be of little help, because I don't want you coming to me with a superior attitude in my trouble. What good are you to me? What good were the friends of Job, if you go back and read the book of Job, to him? They came with judgment. They came assuming that he had done something wrong. They came accusing him of doing something wrong. And they were no help to him at all. In fact, they made it worse. And so God is preparing us to go when we serve and we help to lift the loads of other people. He's preparing us to go in the right spirit and the right attitude. For each one should carry their own load. We will eventually. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. And this is important for us to do as well. Amen. He says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. A man reaps what he sows. So whether we do what is right in these situations or we do what is wrong, God is saying it will all come back to us. There is a phrase that says, what goes around comes around. I'll let you finish it. What goes around? The people that you meet, yeah, they call it karma. Yeah. Instant karma sometimes. And there's another one that says you meet the same people on your as you meet. So how we treat other people will return to us. Now, do you want love to return to you? Or do you want hatefulness to return to you? No. Do you want somebody to comfort you when you're down and discouraged? Or do you want them to dump on you? Comfort, right? So therefore then, if we... The scripture says, what is the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Therefore, if you want people to comfort you and to help and share your load with you, then you should share a load with them. If that's what you want, if that's what you want to reap, then you got to sow it, right? Okay? That's what the scripture is talking about. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from their flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. You want eternal life, or do you want destruction? We all want eternal life, right? And we wanna sow, therefore, the good things. We want to sow love. We want to sow help. We want to sow support in times of need. These are important things to sow so that we may receive from God what we have dished out, and God will give us that. He says, let us not become weary in doing good. For the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So it's important that we continue to serve and to help. Therefore, as we have opportunity, Galatians 6:10, very good one. Therefore, as we have opportunity, that's an important word there, that word opportunity. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. He's talking about the church, the family of believers. He said, do good to everybody, but especially to those who belong, as the old King James says, to the household of faith. And this is the household of faith. Those who belong to God, who are called, who acknowledge that call, are the household of faith, because we have faith in Jesus Christ that if we believe in him, that he is real, that he died, he came, he lived a perfect life, he died for our sins, that he rose, and that he will raise us up if we believe, then we are the household of faith. God accepts us through faith. It is not because of the works that we have done, although our works should follow. And this is one of those works that should follow, and that is to love and to care for other people. You got to do it. It's just who God is. And if we're God's children, we do the same thing. Amen? The Spirit of God in us will call upon us to love and to serve and help other people. Because that's what God does. So if we have the Spirit of God in us, then we will love and care for and serve and help other people. And you know, when Jesus comes back, that's one of the things that we'll be judged on. Matthew, the 25th chapter, verse 31 says, but when the Son of Man, that's God, Jesus, comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. And all the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a separate shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Or in your case, the right hand and the left. He will place them on the right hand and the left. And then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. And what is it that makes him say to them that they will inherit the kingdom? For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Now, this can be quite literal. It's a good thing to go visit people in prison. It's a good thing when you see people that don't have clothes to give them clothes. You got more than enough anyway. You give them clothes. It's a good thing to feed the hungry. That's what we try to do. It's a good thing to comfort those who are in sorrow. But you know what? There's a figurative part of that that's just as strong as the literal part. There is a figurative part. What do I mean? There's a figurative part that is just as strong as the literal part. There are people who are hungry spiritually. They don't know Jesus. They don't know how to act towards other people. My wife and I run into this in the schools. We had a little exercise where we did a coloring exercise with a little pair of glasses that you can color and you can break out. And it says, see people with your heart and not with your eyes. And you're able to color all a little. It has a little heart on there, and it has the glasses, and it has the words, and little flowers and other things. And the kids color it. Then they break it out of this little form, and they bend it, and they put them on. And they wear them around. It says, see people with your heart and not with your eyes. And that's important because we found that kids were just, when they come into the classroom, they're just bashing one another and bullying one another and saying all kinds of nasty and crazy things about one another. And we were trying to teach them that this is something they need to learn now, because if they don't get it straight now, they're not going to be able to have jobs. No employer wants that person on their job. And when you go to the next job, they call back to your previous job and they say, what kind of person was Frankie? And they say, well, Frankie didn't get along, did not play well with others. And it'll follow you the rest of your life. God wants us to learn to play well with others. He wants us to learn to care for others. He wants us not to bully others. He wants us not to talk about others. He wants us to learn to speak good things. And there are people who are hungry. They're hungry for that kind of knowledge. They're hungry for the knowledge of, this is all principles of God. I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty for the word of God. We'd give them drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. Invite them into the family of God. Invite them into your fellowship. Invite just to speak to them. Treat them naked, you clothe me. Sick. You care for me. In prison. You know, we're in prison by a lot of the things that control us. And sometimes, you know, we're just walking with a person through that imprisonment is just as important as going to visit them in a prison someplace. All right? Bless those who persecute you, Romans 12 says. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy. Too far there. It says, be happy for those who are happy and weep with those who weep. And here's where we get down to the real part of it. It's called walking alongside another person. A person happy, it's easy to be with a person who's happy, right? But what about those who weep? Here's the thing. You know, it's important to be alongside people while they rejoice. It's a good thing. Somebody has a birthday party, what do? They invite people, right? Because you want people to celebrate with you. That's a good thing. But it is also important, brothers and sisters, to be there when a person is going through. Now, either one requires that you give up a little piece of yourself. But going alongside people that are going through difficulties requires a bigger piece of yourself. Because you're sharing your life. You're putting yourself in a position to feel what they feel. You're what they call empathizing. In other words, you actually, to the best of your ability, you put yourself in that person's shoes. Now, you're not going to, don't ever say, I feel what you feel, because you don't. That's a mistake that people make. But you can, to the best of your ability, through the things that you have experienced, put yourself in their position. Maybe you suffer similar things. Then it puts you in a better position to feel it than a person who has not experienced it. But you never feel what that person feels, even if it was the same thing. Because our lives are all different. We're snowflakes. One is different than the other. But being able just to stop and to be with a person where they are at that time is invaluable. Money can't pay for it. It's invaluable. Those of you who have gone through something, and most of all of us have, know what I'm talking about. And it takes giving up a piece of your life to go there. You know, I tell you this, people, even in the churches, they think that when they go to serve people, there's going to be flowers and joy and happy, la, 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 right? It's not. A lot of times when you serve people, you're going to hurt with them. Sometimes they're going to hurt you. Sometimes they don't want your, they want your help, but they're going to tell you they don't want your help. They're going to act out on you. And so you got to be prepared if you're going to serve to suffer. It's interesting. When you serve, you suffer. Because when you serve, you give up a piece of yourself. When you serve, you put yourself in the position of the person you're serving to the best of your ability. You go there where they are. That's why God put us in this community. And why he places his churches all over in different communities. It's so that people can identify with and serve and help those who are in those different communities and be there for them. But it's more than just having the church here physically. It is also us, as we go forward, reaching out and actually touching and being alongside and with people who are going through whatever it is they're going through. Now, that may be, it'll be people in the church. We have people in the church that are going through. And we have to learn, it's a funny thing about serving people. I started learning early as a young minister that you go where people are, but you can't really serve them there on your own. Here's what I'm saying. It takes God to serve people. To really serve people effectively, it takes God. Because you won't know what to say. You will feel awkward. You'll want to quit and go home. You'll want the pain to stop. You'll want their pain to stop, and you want your pain to stop. And it doesn't work that way most of the time. Instantaneously, it doesn't work that way. And so you have to learn, since you don't know what to say and you don't know what to do, you have to learn to trust God. And a lot of times you have to learn to just be there and be quiet. Sometimes you just be there and be quiet. And that's enough. Sometimes you call up a person and you don't have to ask a whole lot of questions. You don't have to take them through the story, which they've told 20 times or 100 times. You just say, I just thought about you. Just calling. Hope you're having a pretty good day. How are you okay today? How you doing? Or just simply, if the situation is bad, you just say, I just called to check on you because I love you and I was thinking about you. And that's good. Right there. So a lot of times people don't love and they don't walk with people because they are afraid that they don't know what to say. But be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And here's another thing we get into, isn't it? Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Remember James talks about a brother or sister comes into your assembly and you say to the one that's dressed real nice and has all the gold and pearls on, here, come over here and sit in this exalted chair, and you say the other one sit over there by the footstool because they're not all dressed up. We have to learn that God is going to judge us not by, he's not going to judge you because you went to the rich and famous. I mean, you know, you want to hobnob with the rich and famous. You don't want to hobnob with the poor and the disadvantaged. What do you think God's going to say to you when he sees you? You showed favoritism. You only went to the rich. I mean, there's nothing wrong with going to the rich. The rich need help too, you know. But there are people who are poor who probably need us more, right? Sometimes the rich may be more needy, actually, than the poor. Because I've seen some poor people that have it pretty well together. They have a pretty good fix on life. They may not have a lot of material things, but they love God. They give to people. They share with their neighbors. It's much easier. It seems like it's much easier when you don't have much. I've seen widows that have 5, 6 kids, and all the kids in the neighborhood eat in their house. And somehow God provides for them so that they can feed the whole neighborhood. And then I've seen rich people who wouldn't even share a glass of water with you. I've been in some of those homes, working and slaving, serving them in their home, and won't even offer you a glass of water. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Won't even offer you a glass of water. And yet I go and serve a little widow over here who has almost nothing. And she's a person that says, stop and take a break. Here's a glass of water. Have you ever had a lime sherbet float? No, ma'am. What's a lime sherbet float? Here, sit down. Try this. I've been there. I've seen it. And often it is the poor who have a better fix on life than the rich, because they know that what they have comes from God, and they believe that God will provide, and they're much more open to share what they have with other people than the rich. You know? So just live in harmony with others. You know, Jesus was our example, wasn't he? Jesus hobnobbed with the rich, and he was, you know, at the wedding banquet. He turned water into wine. He went to Zacchaeus' house, who was a rich tax collector, and he ate there. But it was the same Jesus who went and hobnobbed with Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and who healed the lame people who were laying beside the street, and who touched the lepers, and who said to the woman who was caught in adultery, go and sin no more. Here's another principle that we need to keep in mind. Never pay back evil with more evil. As we love and as we lift loads, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. So the honorable thing is not to pay back evil. Even though somebody's done you wrong, you don't pay them back with the evil. My mother used to say, two wrongs don't make a right. Do all things you can to live in peace with everyone. This is what God has called us to, is to live in peace. And love is peace. When we live in love, we live in peace. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take vengeance. I will pay back, says the Lord. And you know what? This is so important because that lifts loads. I can tell you how often. Now, it doesn't always work. I can't tell you how often, though, people have done things to me that were wrong, and I treated them well. And it led to repentance on their part. They changed. They started to realize that this is not the way to go. Now, there are some others that, you know, they do you wrong, and then you treat them nice, and they still treat you wrong. And after a while, you just make a wide arc around those people, because you can't have them dumping in your life all the rest of your life. You just make a wide arc around them. But God calls upon us to love in return, to love back, and that's what we do. You know what? God talks about giving revenge for our enemies. He said, I will take vengeance upon your enemies. But then he says, and I've seen this in history, oftentimes in history, whenever a person would go beyond and take vengeance and in anger and, you know, really pound somebody down, God comes back and he lifts his curse on that person, and he punishes the person who punished them. And he'll say, you went too far. But David, when he was given the option of punishment for numbering Israel, said, let me fall into God's hand, because Nathan gave him the option of falling beneath his enemies and being pursued by them or having God punish him. He said, let me fall into the hands of God, not into the hands of man. You know why that is? God is merciful. God knows when to back off. God will repay us for our evils, by the way. He won't, you know, he... But he doesn't take away his love. But the thing about God is that he finds a place of mercy when he's repaid. And human beings sometimes do not. They hated you 20 years ago, and they still hate you now. And if they had the chance, they would kick you under the bus and step on your head. Whereas God will take mercy, and he is more forgiving. So let God take vengeance and love. Give to everyone what you owe them. Romans 13, 7. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. What does that say to us as citizens of the United States? We are supposed to pay our taxes. All right? If there's a legitimate loophole that the government gives and you fall into it, you can take it. Otherwise, you are supposed to pay your taxes. I can tell you how many rich and famous people don't pay their taxes and end up in big, big trouble, and end up dying poor because the IRS will not play. If you owe taxes, pay it. If you owe revenue, revenue. If respect, respect. If honor, honor. You know, Jesus, when Peter asked him, he says, do we pay taxes? And Jesus said, well, yeah, I mean, we're the princes of the house. I'm the prince of the house. I'm not supposed to pay taxes. The strangers are supposed to pay taxes. But so we don't offend them, yeah, let's pay our taxes. And he sends them down to the lake. He says, go down the lake to the Sea of Galilee, throw in, and the first fish you catch will have the money in it. Take that money and pay my taxes and yours. So Peter goes down. It's got to be cool to have a friend like Jesus, right? And he catches his fish, and it has a coin in his mouth, enough to pay his taxes and Jesus' taxes. And he goes and he pays the taxes. But the point is, he paid his taxes. Jesus says to us, obey the rules of the country where you live. Do not violate them, just like we don't violate God's laws. Let no debt, here's the point, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. And what law is he talking about? The commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, desire that which does not belong to you to the point where you're willing to take it. And whatever other command there may be are summed up in the one command, which is love your neighbor as yourself. And so just like we wouldn't go out and kill, then we should obey God's command that says you ought to love one another. It's just as powerful, right? We wouldn't think of killing, but how often do we think about the love that God commands that we have for our brothers? In Mark 10, verse 28, then Peter spoke up and said, we've left everything to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left homes or brothers or sisters. So here's the payoff. If you're looking for the payoff, here's the payoff. No one has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and for the gospel's sake, they will not fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields. So God is saying, I will give to you in this age those things which you need. And in large part, he was talking about the church when he talked about brothers and sisters and mothers. I mean, there's so many brothers and sisters and mothers I have here in this room, and fathers. God has given to me. He's given it to you. And homes, I'll bless you in your personal life. I'll give you riches. I'll take care of you. But here's the real payoff. Along with persecutions, unfortunately, there will be troubles. And in the age to come, eternal life. So God is promising us, if we are willing to take up his charge, to love and to care for other people, to walk alongside people as they're going through troubles, difficulties, to care about others as much as we care about ourselves, he's promising us eternal life and all those other riches. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first, because it's easier for those who are poor to get the point than those who are rich. And those who are privileged oftentimes do not get it and do not follow this, but God has called upon us to understand it, to be a loving people, to care about our neighbors, to care about those who are without. And he says he will reward us if we will do that, because love lifts all loads. Amen. They say a rising tide lifts all boats. In the same way, love lifts all loads. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the lessons of love that you teach us, demonstrated by your love for us and all that you've done and what you've done through Jesus and through the Spirit. And we pray that you'll help us to take seriously this command to love others. We know, Lord, that as we walk through this life, that we have the obligation to do good to others, especially to the household of faith, but to others. You even commanded us to love our enemies, and you have commanded us to love and to care for our neighbors. Help us to do that. Help us to do that as a regular thing, as an outpouring of your Spirit. And bless us, Lord God, that from it we will receive joy, and that we will receive strength to do so, because it is not for the faint of heart to serve, but help us to do it because we know that we have a sure hope of eternal life, even of things in this life, if we will obey your command to love, that love will return to us. We thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.